Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today ready to worship and ready to give you our all. And as we prepare to come to your table, we ask that you open our hearts and transform us, open our minds, that we can receive the word that is about to be preached to us as we prepare our hearts to take part in the Lord's Supper. And so just be with us as we worship together this morning. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. Please be seated if you can. We're observing the Lord's Supper this morning. As you can see, the service is built around it. And so I thought it'd be a good idea for us to sit in on a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, and specifically Simon Peter, just after the Last Supper. All of you know a little something about Simon Peter, but he was a man's man, bigger than life. Everything Simon Peter did, he did in a big way. He was boisterous. He was enthusiastic. But Simon Peter, like us, had some character issues. And in order for him to become all that God wanted him to be, Jesus knew that he was going to be a great leader for the early church and that kind of thing. But Simon Peter needed some of those flaws to be confronted and corrected in his life. And that would take place through a crisis in his life. Does that make sense? And so through this crisis we call the denial, Simon Peter would be confronted with his weaknesses as well as his strengths. And so as we sit down this morning, just before we sit down at the table with the Lord, I want us to sit in on this conversation that the Lord had with Simon Peter, but also remembering that each one of us has the potential and propensity to deny the Lord. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be all over Mark chapter 14. And once you find verse 27, if you would stand to your feet as we honor God's word. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Mark chapter 14. Y'all are there already? Wow. Okay. Now, staring up here doesn't count, okay? I believe in having your Bible with you or your digital device, whatever that is. Here's the word of the Lord for the Lord's people. Mark 14, 27. Then Jesus said to them, all of you, remember, this is a conversation just after the Last Supper. All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I'll strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Now listen to Simon Peter. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. But he spoke even more vehemently. He said, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And by the way, they all said likewise. You don't have to turn here. Let me just read this sister passage over in Luke. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Listen to this, that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny three times that you knew me. Father, help us to apply your word to our hearts and lives today. We need to hear from heaven. And help us to respond in obedience. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, we know that Simon Peter loved the Lord. Amen. Amen. And you all love the Lord. Amen. Amen. You all love the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's better. And so how does somebody get to the point where they deny the Lord even though they really love the Lord? Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's kind of a downward spiral. I call it the stages of a spiritual fall. So what are these stages of a spiritual fall that can lead to us denying Christ? Well, the first one of those is pride. You remember Jesus made this startling announcement just after the supper that every one of his disciples would forsake him and flee from him and walk away from him in his greatest hour of need. We just read those verses. Well, it made Simon Peter hopping mad. And he said, Lord, you're not talking about me, are you? Now, I'm reading through the Cal Hampton Standard Version right now, okay? You're not talking about me, are you? Because I can see the rest of these guys doing that. But not me. I mean, I'm ready to die with you. I will never deny you. You can count on me. You see, Simon Peter had a pride issue. And it's welling up in his heart. And I want to tell you, pride will cause you to miss God's best. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. You remember Simon had made one of the greatest statements when Jesus asked the disciples just a short while before this conversation, a couple of years before maybe, Jesus said, who do the people say that I am? You remember what Simon Peter said? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the next breath, Billy, he's saying, we're not going to let you die. We're not going to let you go to the cross. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Simon Peter was the one who walked on the water that night with Jesus. Remember that? And in the next minute, he's crying out, Lord, save me. And so Simon Peter's got this pride issue thing going on in his life. And he needed something in his life to point to the weakness. And you know, can I just say this to us this morning quickly? If there's anything good going on in your life, it's Jesus. Pride will cause you, it'll dam up the rivers of revival in your life. And if somebody, you need to be real careful with praise. I have to be really careful with praise because you know what? Brother Cal starts reading his own press clippings. Be careful with praise. And if you're accomplishing something great for God, give Him the credit. Just you know, when somebody says something like that, you know, gives me some, I try, say, it's not me. It's Jesus. If it was up to me, it'd be a mess. And so just be careful with praise. Because pride, it's one of Satan's most subtle strategies. It is. You'll be able to do something good and he'll say, wow, look at you. You are something extra special. And he'll just start telling you all this stuff and then you'll start believing it. Listen, folks, if there's anything that's going on, if you're being blessed, it's the Lord. Okay? Y'all with me so far? And so, jump down to verse 37. Remember, the stages of a spiritual fall. It doesn't happen overnight. Kind of a downward spiral. Look at Mark 14. Look at verse 37. Now, they're in the garden now. And Jesus has just asked James, John, and Simon Peter to do what? Pray with him. Verse 37. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Second stage after pride is presumption. Simon Peter had presumed some things incorrectly. Okay, Jesus had asked him to watch and pray, along with James and John, to pray together. And Jesus is under a lot of stress. You know, he's sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and he's under all kinds of stress, and so he's praying, and then he gets up after about an hour of prayer, comes back, and Simon Peter's asleep along with James and John. And so he says, Simon, You're sleeping. Couldn't you just pray with me for an hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. What a great piece of advice. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, Simon Peter presumed that he was mature enough spiritually to miss the prayer meeting. Let that sink in. I'm not just talking about individual prayer. Who's Peter supposed to be praying with? He's supposed to be praying for Jesus and with you, but he's supposed to be praying with John and James, right? And so he's presumed that he's mature enough spiritually to neglect and to skip the prayer meeting. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you lovingly? I know I sound like a broken record, but power comes through God's people praying together. I want to encourage you. Clear your schedule on Wednesday night and get down here and pray with us. Pray with us. Come pray with us. You will see God do some. He's done some amazing things through the prayer meetings that we've had here. I was amazed last week when we started just giving some praise reports, and God's moving here. Amen, David Fry? I mean, y'all come pray with us. But here's the deal. Satan doesn't want you to pray with anybody. He doesn't want you to pray individually. He doesn't want you to pray publicly. And Dick Littleton said, Brother Cal, just remind them you're not going to call on anybody to pray. I promise, if you'll show up on Wednesday night and pray with us, I won't call you to pray out loud. Look at your neighbor and say, amen. Amen. All right. We start at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. Don't neglect the prayer meeting. Don't do it. Because when you neglect your individual prayer and your corporate prayer of praying with others, you're getting real close to this downward spiral. Oh my goodness, I don't know how I could make it any plainer. And so Peter had presumed incorrectly that he was mature enough spiritually to neglect prayer in his life. And then the spiral continues. Look at verse 47. They're up. Jesus is now being arrested. Verse 47. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Peter presumed, hey, we're not going to let this happen. They're not going to arrest the Lord. And so he pulls his sword out. Now, what is Simon Peter? He's a fisherman. He's not a swordsman. And he's trying to cut the high priest's servant's head off and misses and lops his ear off. And Jesus tells him in one of the other gospel accounts, Simon, put your sword up. This is not God's will. Sometimes we presume things to be so and they're not so. Y'all with me? Watch this. Look at verse 54. I mean, things are going downhill quickly. Verse 54, but Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Mercy. Jesus has been arrested. He's been taken inside to be interrogated and lied about. And Peter is following him now at a distance, at a long way, a little bit longer way. You know, and that's exactly what happens. We start rationalizing our sin and making excuses for our lack of devotion. And before you know it, we have presumed some things incorrectly, and we are following Jesus at a distance. Now, we're not near as close as we used to be. I'm preaching truth to us this morning. This has happened to me in my life. And it's happened to you. But you've got to be careful. Pride and presumption. There's one final thing in these stages that we're going through. And it's in verses 66 through 71. And I don't have time to read all those, but let me just kind of set the table there for you. Simon Peter is now at the warming himself at the fire of the enemy. And he's surrounded by the Lord's enemies there at this fire. And may I just say this? If you're finding warmth from the fire and fellowship of this world, you're ready for a fall. Simon's following at a distance now, and he shows up at the enemy's fire, and he's surrounded, and he's susceptible to pressure now. And y'all all know what peer pressure is, right? Two of you do? Y'all know what peer pressure is. That'll cause you to say things and do things that you normally wouldn't do. And so Simon Peter is surrounded by the enemy here, warming himself at the enemy's fire, and all of a sudden, Satan uses a very unusual resource, a palace maid. And she comes to him and asks him, "Don't you know this guy that's been arrested? This is the one you've been following for 3 years or so." And you know what Simon Peter says? Not once, not twice, but three times. He denies the Lord. And the last time, he uses vile, vulgar profanity and blasphemy. Do you see the stages? That downward spiral? It happens. And now Simon Peter has done three times what he said he never would do. He's denied the Lord three times. It may be a social activity that you know is not right, and you didn't take a stand. It may be a business deal that you know is not quite right, and yet you remain quiet as a mouse. Maybe someone was criticizing the church or the Lord, and you folded like a deck of cards. Or maybe it was somebody, God put them in your path. And you just got quiet and didn't say a word. We all have the potential and propensity to deny the Lord. And then Simon Peter, here's that rooster. And remembered what Jesus had said to him. So those are the stages. Pride, welling up in you, presuming some things incorrectly that don't line up with Scripture, and then being surrounded by peer pressure. And when you get down to that stage, you're going to give in. So I promised you I would never leave y'all bleeding, okay? There are two steps to a spiritual conversion, just two. Now, I'm not talking about the salvation of somebody's soul, okay? I'm talking about the conversion from bad habits and poor choices. Some of those things need to be converted in our lives. Can I get a witness? Amen. And so let's look at that. Now jump down to verse 72. A second time the rooster crowed, then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. And then Luke adds even a little bit more to this situation. I believe it's Luke chapter 22. Yes, verse 60. But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're saying." Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And watch this, listen to this. And verse 61 in Luke 22. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now remember, Jesus had prayed that his faith would not fail. How many of you know if you got Jesus praying for you, you're going to be okay? Come on now. He's maintaining our salvation through his prayer ministry in heaven. And if Jesus is involved in the prayer ministry of prayer, praying for us, interceding on our behalf. Bless God, we ought to be involved in prayer ministry. Y'all can tell I'm passionate about this because I've seen the power of prayer and what it can do when God's people come together and do what we're supposed to do. So Jesus is praying for Simon Peter. Now watch this, watch this. Peter repented. Now, can I just say this? I've heard sermons on Judas that he was really saved. That's a lie from the pit of hell itself. He was remorseful, Judas was. But there was no repentance. There was no turning. There was no forsaking of sin. There was no godly sorrow over his sin. He was sorry that he'd been caught. And he realized that he'd betrayed innocent blood. He's sorry, but there's no repentance. Here's the deal with repentance. When you know you're involved in sin, bless God. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you get under conviction. You get heartbroken like Peter is over your sin. And you immediately begin to say, oh, how did I do this? I'm so ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I feel so nasty and dirty and guilty. Lord, I realize that you paid the price for all of my sin, every single one of them. And I want to turn from this sin. I want to forsake it. I don't want to go back there anymore. I want to turn from it and turn to you as my only means of forgiveness. God, would you clean me up and wash me? That's repentance. And by the way, if you can sin and get by with it, you need to get a dose of Jesus. Because if you're saved, you've got His Spirit in you. And there's a battle going on when you sin. And you're heartbroken over it. And you can't keep on sinning and sinning and sinning and be saved without any kind of conviction. Are y'all with me? Yes. All right. So Simon Peter repented, and bless God, here's the best part. Now, we don't have time to read this. We've got a lot to do this morning. But in John chapter 21, you remember after the resurrection, when the boys had heard that Jesus had been raised from the dead, Peter and John run to the tomb. And you remember they found the tomb was empty? You remember that? Yeah. And they saw the grave clothes. And then John and Simon Peter and some of the other disciples, you know what they did next? They went fishing. Because that's what fishermen do, right? And they'd been out fishing all night long. All night. Hadn't caught a thing. And they're coming into shore early that morning. Mike, you remember where that took place at when we saw that over in Israel? That was so special. And they're coming into shore, worn out, tired. There's somebody up on the shoreline. And they've got a fire. They're cooking fish for breakfast. And then somebody else said, "That's the Lord." And Simon Peter dove in, clothes and all, swam to the shore, sat down beside Jesus, soaking wet, warming himself at the Lord's fire now. And Jesus looked at him and asked him three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Now, didn't Jesus know? Yeah, he knew. But he wanted to make sure that Peter understood. And every time Simon Peter said, "Yes, you know I love you," he said, "We've got lambs that need to be fed. We've got sheep that need ministry." And he restored him. He restored him. Not only did he forgive him, but he restored him to ministry. And this speaks volumes to me because I've been there. If you didn't get anything else out of this message today, get this. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whoever you've done it with, if you're under conviction about something this morning, God, as we observe the blood and the bread this morning. God standing there with outstretched arms saying, come to me. Amen. Come to me with your sin. And I'll wash you. I'll clean you up. And I'll restore you to sweet fellowship again. Now, you got to be a believer for that to take place. But I don't know who I'm talking to here today. But there's somebody here. And you need restoration. You need to be restored to the Lord. And that's what this is all about right here. And maybe you're not sure if you're one of the Lord's children. Can I just share this with you? It's so easy to understand. And it's simple, but it did not come cheaply. It was very, very costly. But if you understand that you're a sinner and you've messed your life up and your sins have separated you from God, join the club. But if you believe that Jesus was the Son of God and lived a perfect sinless life and became the sacrifice and died for all your sins, and you'd be willing as your only means of salvation, for forgiveness and salvation, by turning to Him and surrendering to Him as the Lord of your life, He will save you and forgive you and come in and He'll reign and rule over your heart and life. Glory to God. So it's either salvation this morning or restoration this morning. Which one is it? Only you and the Lord can answer that. But in a crowd this large, there are several of you here that need to be obedient. Am I going to come drag you out of your chair? No. But the Holy Spirit will. And if He's speaking to your heart, you better respond with a yes. Father, as we enter into this time of response, and we enter into this time of invitation, Lord, this is the most important time of this service. Oh God, would you move in a way that's unmistakable in our lives? And before we sit down at the Lord's table and share communion with one another, Father God, would you please convict us of the things in our life that are not right? Before we sit down at this table, we've got to be clean and pure and holy. And that only happens through the precious blood of Jesus. And so God, minister life, whether it be revival, restoration. Maybe there's somebody here that's been following at a distance or warming themselves at the enemy's fire. Or maybe we just simply need Jesus. We've never truly been saved. Oh God, don't let us listen to Satan's lies any longer. But help us to receive forgiveness and cleansing at an old-fashioned altar. It's in the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Would you just stand reverently and quietly as people are coming to get right with the Lord today before we sit down at His table? You come on right now. Don't wait around. Just come on. We thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for drawing us back to the cross. Thank you. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men, all people unto myself. And so, God, you do the drawing this morning as we sit down at your table and share communion with you. We look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we'll sit down and drink it anew and afresh with you in the kingdom. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. If our deacons would come and prepare the Lord's table. The cups that we're serving have both elements of communion in the cup, and we'll partake of the bread first and then the cup. So they're going to pass these out, and then we'll call on our deacons to pray over the meal. Father, thank you for this sweet, special time. We look forward to sitting down with you in person one day soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Thank you, Daniel. Look, come back here. The bread is symbolic of the Lord's body broken for you. Just think about what all he went through. What his body, he said, remember me. Just think about what he did for you and me. And we're going to partake of the bread in just a moment. Mike, ask God to bless as we partake of the bread and we remember his death. Yes.
Father, how your body was treated. This morning, Lord, we want to say thank you for that sacrifice. And as we take this bread, we remember what you did for us.
Yes. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, if you'll peel the top back, we're going to partake of the cup. And there are some other religious groups that believe this is the actual body and blood of the Lord. I don't believe that. But it is very, very symbolic and significant. And as we partake of the cup, I'm so thankful for the precious blood of Jesus that covers all of our sin and washes them away whiter than snow. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Daniel, ask God to bless as we partake of the cup, would you?
Yes, Lord.
Then he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. Drink.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.